pray, God, that we will learn something and live something that will be of far greater glory to the kingdom. We thank you for watching over us throughout the night. And again, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Lord, this day is filled with new promise, potential. There's a prophecy that brought us to this point. Now, Lord, we must perform in that which we believe. And so our faith must lead us, give us instruction, show us the way that we are to go. Because we believe in you and believe all about you, we do know now that we can do all things because of the Christ that is in us, because of the Christ who has invested his sacrifice in us. You gave your life for us. And Lord, it would seem reasonable that we would give our life back to you. We recognize that Paul was right when he said, in you we live, move, and have our being. And so God, help us now to walk as soldiers, servants, and subjects in the kingdom of God. And that, Lord, we will have a warrior spirit, that we will fight the good fight of our faith and endure the hardships and challenges that do indeed come. But Lord, we pray that you will give us something to celebrate, that at the end of the day, we will remember that Christ is King. And Lord, as we lift up and magnify your name, we bring sing praises and bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, at the end of the day, let us celebrate that we have done a good work, and that, Lord, we now look forward to the next assignment, the next great thing. Bless this house afresh, house that bears your name. And we pray, God, that your spirit and presence would be very obvious in this place. Govern our tongues and our thoughts and our actions, that we would remember that we are the children of the Most High God, and that, Lord, you desire and deserve all of the glory and the honor. God, we thank you again, for this is the day that you have made for us, and we will do all that we know to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. I brought up a subject on Thursday, and because all of us don't come to Thursday, and some of us come to Sunday, and some of us come to Wednesday, I brought that subject up on Thursday night, and I thought I better try to tie it all together so that we can become a more uniform and unified people. There are four things I gave them that I want you to know as well, and I think it's going to help us as we're trying to strategically become the greater church, not just a greater church, but also the greater church. And so these four things I wanted everybody to know, because it brings us into a more sense of uniformity. In some churches, you end up with several different churches based on what activity is going on in that particular church. There were some years ago, we had two services, and we actually ended up with two versions of what Brookville was. We had 8 o'clock Brookville, and then we had 11 o'clock Brookville. And so to quell that, we want to make sure that all our studies kind of make us one people. What we talk about on Thursday does not make the Thursday group any better than the Sunday morning group, nor does it make the Wednesday group any better than the Thursday group. So it's one group. And one of the things that I mentioned on Thursday is that we have to have a common voice, that the scriptures declare the same thing into every people. And so four pieces that I gave them, I want to give you. One is that every one of us have divine potential. Every one of us. And I want you to know that, because one of the things that hinder us from doing the next thing is a lot of people thinking, well, I can't do that. You know, that's not me. You're talking about a people or persons that I'm not. And that's not true. Each and every one of you have divine potential. God made you to be so. And you can't underestimate, and you've got to stop underestimating your ability to do this work. Every one of us have been called to do this work. This work is described based on where God has positioned us in our particular community. It may require something a little different than a Chicago or Miami or Charlotte. But it's the same work. And the primary work is that we would make disciples. That's the primary work. And then from that, once you catch the fish, you do a little different things. But the potential that we have, when God talks about the church, he talks to us. We make up the church. And so all of us have the ability. And that's why God says, I'll give you gifts. I'll give you talents. I'll give you abilities, because we can do this work. The second thing that all of us have, and this is critical, is a divine purpose. No more than what you do on your job. Those of you who have a job, those of you who once had a job, those of you who are looking for a job, when they hire you to do a particular thing. If you work in a McDonald's per se, there's somebody that does the cooks. There's somebody that works on the counter. There's somebody that does the little sweeping and cleaning in general terms outside the little thing there. But everybody has a purpose. So when you come in, you kind of know what you're set to do. They determine that based on the interview where they look at your potential. So when you go to get the interview, you know, they may say we're hiring all positions. So if you go into a place that says they're hiring all positions, they sit you down and they talk to you. And they ask you, what is your experience, or what are your experiences, or what are your desires? What would you like to be? You know, you walk in and say, well, I want to be the manager. Well, they're going to start interviewing you based on the qualities that they expect from a manager. And during the course of that interview, they may look at you and say, well, we don't think you're a manager quality, but we might be able to make you a first assistant. Or they might keep working down until you wind up being a cook. But they bring you in and they look at what your potential are. Your potentials are. Then they give you that purpose. So they say, well, we're going to hire you to be a lead cook or to be a fryer. You know, if you go into those restaurants, and those of you who've worked in restaurants or even in businesses, there are people who do specific things. And so what we want to recognize in the body of Christ is that all of us have divine potential. We can do all things, but then God narrows that down a little bit by giving us a divine purpose. And that's what every one of you have. God has let you live until this day because your purpose is still valid in the kingdom of God. Amen. There's an old song we sing in the church said, he didn't have to let me live. He didn't have to let me live. But look what they're talking about. But I'm glad to be in the service. In other words, they're saying, I'm glad to be able to do what God has allowed me to do, what God has called me to do one more time. And so our purposes are different. Our potential may be different, but it's one God. And so all of us have this divine purpose. And part of what we need to do is spend some quiet time with God and ask him, well, Lord, what is it you want me to do? How many of you have heard the expression, jack of all trades and master of none? Amen. That means that this person can probably do a whole lot of things, but is not really good at any of them. Just getting by. And let me tell you, this is one of the things that we're going to have to overcome. You know, we're doing our little strategic conferences right now. One of the things that Greater Brookville is going to have to do is stop just getting by. We have spent too many years just getting by because we have people who do have potential and do have a purpose, but they don't want to do anything. You got to stop being afraid. You got to stop hesitating. What's that old expression? He who hesitates is lost. God has given you a purpose. Again, if you work on a job, how long have you been on your job, Mrs. Richburg? 17 years. You think you'd be there 17 years if you couldn't fulfill your purpose? If you didn't have any potential to benefit the company, you think you'd be there 17 years? Probably not. How many people have you seen come through the door, didn't last a month, didn't last a week, didn't last a year? Why? Because they don't have, they're not helping us. How many people have you known, all of you, who have been called in HR and released or fired or terminated because they're saying, you're sorry. You don't do your work. You spend most of your time hiding and goofing off, so we're going to let you go. They're not fulfilling the purpose. Or how many of this, have you ever, and I hope it hadn't happened to you, but if they brought you in and said, listen, you do know what we hired you to do, right? You do know what you're supposed to be doing here, right? Purpose. And people who don't fulfill purpose are slowing all of us down. And so all of us, because God said, I call you. Peter comes along and reminds them. Paul comes along and reminds them that all of you have something unique about God. Paul tells the church that we're the workmanship of God. And that's beautiful. To know that God has personally put his hands on me. To know that God personally cares about what I'm doing. If you work on a job long enough and they give out recognitions, don't you feel kind of left out when you never get recognized? They never call your name? But God has put his hands on all of us. And then he says, and now what you must do because of God's interest and investment in you is to walk worthy. Make God proud. Hold your head up. Bible says this, once you put your hands to the plow, don't look back. Bible says, sharpen your sword and fight the good fight. And great is your reward. But those rewards only come when you have fulfilled your purpose. They don't get, if you work in a company where they have incentives, you don't get an incentive award if you haven't done anything. They're not going to bring you in and give you a bonus at the end. My father, in the job he worked as a longshoreman, they would give them what they call a royalty at the end of the year. If you have worked so many hours and you've done so much to help the company said, well, we got blessed. We're going to bless you. And every year I'd hear my father talking because he was one of the lead men, like supervisor. He would be talking about the men who were grumbling because they didn't get anything. And he's telling me, you know, well, I can't tell you what he said. But he tell them, y'all ain't done nothing. You got all year to build up some creds, build up some points. And then you wait till December to try to push. They ain't buying it. And so in the body of Christ, because we have these gifts and abilities, God is saying to all of us, I blessed you. Now bring me back a return. Show me what you have. Then the third thing, well, I'm going to let Sister Jackie and ladies, I'll let you catch up. We're talking about four character credits that God gives us. One is divine potential, so we don't want you to fall behind. That's the first one. The second one is divine purpose. So that's what we're talking about, divine purpose. And now we want to look at the third one, and I'll let the Andersons get settled a little bit before we get into the third one. So the first one is divine potential, because every one of us can do something. Every one of us can lay subscription to, I can do all things through Christ. Every one of us can lay subscription to, nothing is impossible to them that believe. Every one of us. You can talk to God like that. You can say to God in your prayer and meditation time, Lord, I believe your word. And your word says, I can do all things. Because I told you a long time ago, if you ever want to have a long-lasting and beneficial conversation with God, just say to him what he's already said to you. That's why you have your Bible. My conversations with God have always stemmed from me reading about God. I take a certain scripture or a couple of lessons, and, you know, there are some people who like to do the fly and fold method of reading. You know, they take the Bible and hold it like this and let it flow and say, well, that must be what God wants me to read. Well, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But read it and watch God talk to you. Because anything God says is worth talking about. So if you want to do the fly and fold version, okay, fine. But I really believe that when you talk back to God, it's no more than I mentioned on Thursday night, you know, I'm studying German. I've always been fascinated with German. And so I'm studying German. My mom said, well, who are you going to be able to talk to? Now, she has a good point, really. But I'll find somebody. If I'm somewhere and they just start talking German, somebody may be speaking the Deutsch. Yeah, there you go. See, I got somebody. And so it's important for us to know the language. So that's why we have Bibles. That's why it's still the number one book in print. It's one of the number one apps. Believe it or not, they don't tell you a lot about it. But the Bible app is being downloaded by the millions. And so when we talk to God, we want to talk to him about our potential. Lord, what can I do? And so when we look at that, then the next thing is to know that you have a divine purpose. You yet live because God still has a work for you. Jesus reminds us that we've got to work while we have still yet light in this day, because darkness is coming. How many know darkness is coming? All you got to do is listen to the political climate. All you got to do is look at the economy. Look at what has happened. I don't know if any of you have relatives in Puerto Rico, but please keep praying for those folks. They have nothing. There's no water. There's no power. 95% of the cell towers are down. They can't talk to nobody. 85% of the infrastructure is destroyed. They have no streets. They can't get around. So they can't go fix nothing because they can't go get to fix it. They're in a bad way. And that's 3.5 million people. So don't think it's going to always be like this. And the fact of the matter is, we have to all recognize that there's some purpose here. What does God want me to do? When I rose this morning, I didn't have no doubt. No doubt about what? You know, watch what you're saying now. I know what the song says, the Lord would bring you out of what? Let's fill in some of these blanks and become a more concise Christian. A more, one of the words we throw up quite often is competent. I mean, if we were to be graded today on our Christian competence, then we can give Christian a bit of a pass. We can give Jada a bit of a pass because they're our newest disciples. They're babes in Christ. But what about us grown old rusty folk who've been patting our hands all these years and singing all these songs and going to these few Bible studies? What are we doing? What courage do we have to fight the good fight? What does it mean when God is saying to us, go, and we won't go? Can't be stubborn mules all of our lives and expect God's going to keep blessing us. We have a purpose, and our purpose cannot be global if we have not yet done in-house purpose. We got to deal with everybody in our house first. Then we go out into the global economy and start looking at what we're doing as a church. God is not calling Greater Brookville to save the whole world, but our part of the world. And if we don't do our purpose, then we have allowed people to die in our midst. How many of you have ever taken a first aid class? One of the first things you will notice about first aid class is it doesn't matter if you know the person, if they're what color, what creed, it's that they're hurt. And you are required to render first aid, or expected to at least. In fact, if you have a driver's license in the Commonwealth of Virginia and you're involved in a motor vehicle crash and you don't lend aid and assistance, you can be charged with failure to render aid. You can't crash into somebody and just sit in your car, smoke your cigarette. Well, I'll just wait till the police come. They wrong. You're supposed to get out if you can. And if you can't get out, more than likely, how many of y'all have been in an accident and probably couldn't move, and somebody did come to you and say, are you okay? Even if they hit you and they know they're wrong, they say, you all right? And then they say, don't call the police. My husband will be here. He'll take care of you. You say, oh, no, no. We calling the man. But my point is, we're required as Christians because we have been ministered to. Because somebody came after us. Again, we're talking about the 4 points to actively seek and bring people to Christ. Remember now, we didn't say bring them to Brookville because they may not want to stay with us, but we want to at least bring them to Christ. And if we're going to bring them to Christ, we got to have a Christ here. So we want to be able to do our divine purpose. Now, number three, everybody caught up now. Number three is that every one of us have the expectation of divine prophecy. God has spoken something over your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. You are here because of prophetic utterances. Here's what God says about you in a deeper divine way. Before the foundations of the world, I knew you. And I had a plan for you. None of you are here by accident. God spoke you into existence. And everything that is about you, God spoke into existence. That's why all of your lives are unique, but yet the same. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord talks about, he says, listen, my Father knows you have need of these things. Everybody needs food and shelter and clothing and that kind of thing. He said, yep, my Father knows. However, what you decide to do after I say this is going to be up to you. Then he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then my Father will give you all that stuff. Does not give us the authority or the mindset to lordship over anybody or think we're better than anybody because we have and they don't have. We can't declare, see, I'm more righteous than you because God has blessed me. No, that's not how that works. A lot of what happens in our society has a lot to do with economics, has to do with zip codes and addresses and parents and potential and all that kind of thing. All of us are born with nothing, but some of us are born into more something than others are. And from that foundation, we can build upon. Most rich folk came from money. So they can build on their money and make more money and make more. You know, people who are poor tend to have many disadvantages. We talk about that even in healthcare. That's been a big issue. In the next 36 hours or so, It's going to be voted on one more time. But can you imagine what's going to happen to the person who has no job, who has no health plan? No, I mean, there's nobody to take care of him. You know, this young fellow's rather fortunate. His dad is military and his mom's got a job. So there's some health. He can fall and hurt himself, and they can get him over to the hospital and put their little card on the counter and they'll take care of him. What about that little kid whose mom and dad don't have a job? Not because they're lazy and don't want to work. They just can't find a job. Going back to what we talked about earlier in the illustration, many people interview and don't make it through the interview because they don't have the qualities that the people are looking for. Some of you have probably had that happen to you. They said, well, if something comes up, we'll call you. And they never called you. And then one of your friends went down and said, well, I got hired. And what do you start doing? Well, what's the difference between me and you? We do that because we wanted that. We didn't go down there not to get the job. But what we're looking at in our society is not about have and have nots, because God cares for all of us. But there are factors that we have to play into or that get played into. But divine prophecy says that God has spoken something uniquely to you. And that's why the devil can't kill you. That's why many of us are still striving, even against all the opposition and difficulties we've had in life. We're still pressing on because God has made it so. The psalm writer says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, what would have become of us? He said, when the floods came, they would have overtaken us. When famine came, we would have died. And how many of us know that it's truly the Lord? I mean, we like to take credit for a lot of things, and God just smiles at us. But we're not that smart. I mean, we're smart, but we're not that smart. So divine prophecy makes the difference. And then the last one is, there is a divine promise. And promise is a little bit different than prophecy, but there is a divine promise where God had made promises to your ancestors. He made Abraham the great promise that we all know. He told Abraham, he said, not only you, but every generation after you. He said, I'll take care of them. He said, they will be more than the sands, more than the earth itself can count, but I made you a promise. He promised one man, and look at all us benefit from it. He told Abraham, he said, I'll do it. You know why, Abraham? Because you've been faithful. Brothers and sisters, don't ever underestimate the high quality and value of being faithful. Some of us older saints know this. Kedra, you don't have to know yet. You can sit there and shake your head all you want. You don't know nothing about it. But some of us old saints know that being faithful has sure paid off. There were times when we didn't have no money, but we were faithful. And God got that bill out the way. We were in a bad way with health, other issues, and God said, I got you. We went to the mailbox, and God put something in there. When we didn't have no job, you know, and grandma used to say, we were robbing Peter to pay Paul. But God was faithful. God said, I see your faith. There are times when we didn't have it. We just kept praying. And little God didn't do it in a big way. He just did a little something. And that's why we are told by Christ to live one day at a time. Sometimes we put a whole lot of investment in our future, and we're worried about what's going to happen 5, 10, 15 years from now. And God is saying, you're worried about too much. How many of you have ever got to that point where you realize you are certainly, as old folks say, you have bitten off more than you can chew? And you say to yourself, wait a minute, what? I ain't got time to worry about 10 years. I just need today. God, if you'll just do something today, come on now. That's what he said. He said, listen, tomorrow going to take care of itself. We're living in a time, it's 2017, it's September 24th. The deacons and I were sitting in the office just a few minutes ago, and Deacon Davis looked up at the calendar and said, oh my goodness, this is the last Sunday in September. How many of us didn't know for sure if we'd make it to September 24th? No, because we were living reckless and anything, but we just figured, you know, hey man, life can turn on you. But now that we're here, we're very thankful. We're like, Lord, thank you. Ooh, I'll take this day. But how many know that no matter what we do today, you can't guarantee nothing about tomorrow? All we have is what's right in front of us. And if you learn to enjoy what's right in front of you, you'll have a better day every day. Because there are some things that you can't see coming. But God made us a promise. God made us a promise. He said, now I'll bless you to every generation. Now, how God blesses us is totally up to God. Now, if we got any sense at all, we can pray our prayers. And he said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Let me know what you want. And I'll do it for you because I love you. And I care for you. Okay? So those four things I want everybody to make sure we got. Because like I said earlier, some of you who came in a little bit during the course, we got a lot of different teachings going on. But I don't want us to think we got four or five different churches. We got one church. And so those of us who don't come on Thursday, I don't want you to fall behind those who come on Sunday morning and think that the Sunday morning crew got an advantage over you because you don't, you know, no. I'm really trying to bring us all in together. And the one key point that we brought up on Thursday comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. So let's turn there right quick. I'll build on that a little bit, then we'll get into the next few things we need to talk about, and we'll move on in our worship today. Matthew chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. And here's why this is coming to us. I realized something that I think we're going to have to deal with. In order for us to become this strategic church that we want to become and be able to cover some ground that we haven't covered, we need to really look at the basics. And there are a lot of questions that we're going to address as we get, you know, we're kind of winding this year down. But, you know, our studies go a long time. But there are some things that we're going to look at. We wrote them down some months ago. You know, why I go to church? What am I listening for? You know, there's some questions we want to answer. And we need to answer those questions. We really do. I think every one of you need to know why you're a Christian. That's primary. Why am I a Christian? And it cannot be, let me eliminate it. It cannot be that it simply benefits you to be one. It's really got to be about the kingdom. You know, don't say I'm a Christian so I can get stuff. Be a Christian because that's what God called you to be. And it ought to benefit the kingdom. And so Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Very simple, but it tells us what we're looking at. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began to preach. And his message was one simple thing. He preached the same sermon all the time. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent. Turn from your sins. So we asked the question Thursday night, and I think we ought to ask tonight or this morning. Those who listen to us since we got our podcast up this morning. But every one of us need to answer this question. Have you repented of your sins? Because if we haven't done that, then it may answer a lot of the questions we have as to the failing construct of our church. If the people in the church haven't repented, what's our message to the world? If we haven't sat down and truly repented, to be godly sorry, to turn from sin, to say to God, Lord, you got me. So John says, before he talks about building churches, before he talks about doing ministries, auxiliaries, before he worries about choirs, anything like that, John says, we need to repent. That's his message, to repent. Now, most times, much like now time, in this very moment, when you start saying repent, see how quiet everybody gets? See, everybody kind of looking around, not looking at anybody, not looking at the reverend because you're thinking, hey, man, he might think that's a sign that I need him to come over here and say something. No, but that's what it does to us. It really makes us face ourselves. And quietly, I can hear you thinking, did I? Do I really address that? Have I really said to God, I'm sorry? Have I really said to God, Lord, you got me? Repentance is also saying to God, Lord, I know I can't live without you. And let's be honest with ourselves. Maybe minus, again, the young Christian. He's about the youngest one in here presently. Us older folk. probably remember a time when we tried to live without him. Time when we didn't worship him. Time when we didn't come to his church. Really didn't take our presence with God as a priority. You know, we could take it or leave it. Generationally, this is one of the first times in all of history when statistically the presence of families in churches are on the decline. You may have a mom, maybe a mom and a dad, but you don't get all the kids. You may have one or two kids who go to church and their parents don't. It's a bad time for the church. And some of us, again, we've been around a while. We can remember when we kind of strayed away, or the old church used to say backslid, you know. But God is saying to us now the same thing he's been saying to us all the time. John's message has not changed. And part of what we talked about on Thursday night is taking the pastoral responsibility, because our preaching can get kind of entertaining. It can, you know, it can kind of go some places. But I thought about it, you know, after we had this conference call some days ago, me and some preachers sat on the phone and talked about it. Let's just look at what's really happening to us. And maybe we just need to go back to the basics and admit that we are preaching to folk who have not repented. We put people in ministry that have not repented. We're putting leaders and preachers are getting in pulpits and deacons and trustees and choir directors and music ministries and usher ministries and food ministries, and those people have not repented. They just show up at church. Some of them on paid salaries. You know, some churches have pretty good payrolls. People come to the church, they don't even go to the church. They work there, but they don't worship there. So, I mean, there's a problem when people have not said to God what they really need to say to God. Now, let me tell you what happens in repentance. In repentance, you don't just all of a sudden wake up and have this crystal mentality, and I got it, and I'll never have to say that again. No, it's going to constantly be an issue. Why? Because sin is constantly an issue. You know, some of us have a good day. Some of us have a good week. Some of us have a good month. Some of us have a good year. But all it takes is one infraction, one slip. Paul says, man, I'm fighting in my flesh every day. Paul says to us, I would do the right thing, but look like when I try to, y'all, Paul, right. Okay, don't make me think I'm working hard by myself. But he said, man, I'm realizing something. I'm Paul, and I'm still in trouble. So he said, every day I got to go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Now, again, you don't have to raise your hand, but we asked this question Thursday night, and one of our attendants, Deacon Walker, you remember, raised their hand and made it bad for the rest of us. But I'm saying, you know, but let's be honest. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But you ought to repent every day. You need to start working on this, because the only way we're going to really, look, we do all the strategic planning we want. We can come up with a new theme. We can come up with a new title. We can come up with a new motto. We can do all that. But if we don't get this elementary part right, all the rest of it ain't going to be no good. So we got to repent. John's message is simple. Repent. Turn from your sin, because the kingdom is closing in on you. How many of you have ever had a deadline catch up with you? Because you procrastinated, kept putting it off. How many of you ever had something happen to you that pretty much you were told, hey, this is coming. You go, man, they ain't going to never do that. And then they did it. You're like, man, they did that. And you didn't do what you needed to do to get ready. He's coming. And if there's anybody who should promote this gospel with the assurance that God don't lie, it's us, the church. So he says, repent, turn from your sins. And everybody struggles with sin. There's nobody in this room. Again, now Cedric has gone to the early running. Now he's the smallest thing in here, may not know anything about a lot of it, but everybody struggles with it. Seasoned veterans, rookies, you know, because it's out there. That's the devil's tool to get you to trip up. And so he tells us, he said, now this is what's coming. And those of us who are in the body of Christ must understand, and this is critical to understand, that we were hostile toward God before we repented. We were enemies of the cross. Now, again, nobody's going to walk around with a bumper sticker saying, I was an enemy of the cross. Nobody's going to make that part of their testimony, pretty much. You ever notice that in the church, most of our testimonies are not much really about our past, but a lot about our present and our future expectations? I just want y'all to know the Lord has shown me a new way. You know, we don't tell people how we hated the church, hated God, and how some of us are still struggling with that relationship. But God is still so faithful. And God is still saying to you, you know what, if you just come to me, I'm not going to get rid of you. I'll let you stay. Let's go over to Romans 6, work a little bit there, and understand now, beloved God, we were in trouble until the Lord came. And here's a crucial element as you get over to Romans 6. Here's something that I need you to build on. I need you to build your faith. Your faith is going to determine your walk with God more than the size of the church or who the preacher is. James, is that your phone? Still celebrating your birthday, huh, James? Way Fridays ago. You might ought to go and answer that. They're going to call back. That old James keeps us on our toes, don't it? Who's that, Kanye West, James? Who's your ringtone, James? Okay, a video. Oh, Lord. James, don't you know not to make videos? That's proof. They'll use them in the court. Thank you, James. You know I love him. All right, so Romans 6. And here's what you need. Again, your faith is going to be the critical component. Because money ain't going to always be the same. How many of y'all done had your money change? Mm-hmm. How many had your health change? Mm-hmm. How many done had your job status change? Yeah. All that kind of stuff changes, doesn't it? How many are not riding as smooth as you used to ride, or now you're riding smoother than you used to ride? Yeah, and all that stuff changes, right? How many of you have changed churches in your lifetime? Okay. How many of you have seen pastors come and go in your lifetime? Mm-hmm. Deacons come and go in your lifetime. Trustees come and go in your life. Ministries come and go. See, all that stuff changes. Can I tell you what you cannot allow to change except for the better? Your faith. Don't let your faith be based on what kind of car you drive or what kind of house you live in or what position you have in the church. Don't do that. Let your faith be, and we'll give him full credit as our friend out in California calls his church, ever-increasing faith. Let your faith ever increase. Because your faith is going to determine everything that I try to teach you or anybody else or whoever your next pastor might be. Even in you trying to teach your children, your faith will affect his faith and her faith and your children's faith and your children's faith and your neighbor's faith and your son's and your daughter's faith. And what you've got to understand is that without faith, it is still impossible. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what side of the church is. I don't care how long you've been there. If you don't have faith, you are not going to make God happy. Because that's how the just truly live. And the just are no more than the forgiven. We've been justified by God. And so Romans 6 is critical for us to understand. Everybody over there now? All right? Listen to what he says in Romans 6, verse 1. Well then, now remember, we just talked about repenting, right? So we're coming off repentance. And so here's the question. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness? And you know what the answer is. It's right there in the next verse. No, of course not. How many of you know people that live their life on the edge? Risk takers. People without regard for law and order, decency, morality. Yeah, there are people out there like that, aren't they? And they live just like we live, don't they? You ever looked at how the unjust live, how the unrepentant live? You say to yourself, God, that's something. You know, Lord, here it is. I'm trying to love my neighbor and pay my taxes and do the right thing and my neighbor don't even go to church, and he got a better car than me, a better house, got more money. You ever looked at that? Yeah. That's a real look, isn't it? That's a real look. But don't fall for it. The Bible says, because soon the wicked shall be cut off. For some of us, it ain't soon enough. Rest of y'all don't want to raise y'all hand. Thank you. Okay, thank you. I got some with. Yeah, like, come on, Lord. You should have got them yesterday. And so what he says is, if we're going to do Matthew 3, repent, turn from our sins, Paul come on, that's church. All right, then are we going to go on sinning? No. He said, of course not. Listen to what he says. Watch this. He said, of course not. Since we have died to sin, now there's a key. There's a key. What do you do with dead stuff? Bury it. Do you dig it up? No. It takes a court order to dig up dead stuff. Now to get somebody to say, well, there's a good reason for it. Ain't no good reason for digging up your old self. How many of you have died to your old self? Amen. You ought to be working on it then. If you haven't, work on it. Kill it off. Now let me explain that so none of y'all don't do the wrong thing. Even y'all listening on the media thing. No, I'm not saying kill you off. You're going to need you. But the sin in you, that die. James says, get rid of it. Not that James. But James says, get rid of it all. Cast it off. Don't have nothing to do with it. He said, that's your responsibility. He said, you've got to do it. No matter how many people wish you well, every parent in this room and every potential parent in this room will wish their child the best. Just like Sister Jackie wants it for her girls, you want it for your daughter, you want it for your son, you want it for your girl. All around this room, we've always wanted the very best for our children. Most of us who have lived with any sense of decency have said to ourselves, we want our children to have it better than we did. And we do what we can to make that happen. We work them extra shifts, and we put money in a trust fund and look for programs so they can go to college. Believe it or not, in 2017, there are still families who are waiting for the first generation college graduate to come out of their family. There's still families that just can't afford to send their kids to college. But there are parents who are trying to at least send them to community college or a trade school or something so that their child can have it better. That's good parenting. It's good parenting. But he says to us, you can't go on living like that. You got to let sin die. And you've got to take primary responsibility for its death. Don't blame the preacher. Well, he didn't preach the message to get me. No, that ain't preacher's fault. Don't blame. No, you can't blame anybody. Once you get of age, you got to take responsibility for this yourself. So he says to the church, Romans 6, verse 3, he says this. Have you forgotten that when we became Christians, we were baptized to become one with Christ? We died with him. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And we just had a baptism, and I tried to explain that to our young people the other day, that you're dying to something and you're going to live to something. Baptism is really saying goodbye, farewell, auf Wiedersehen. And now we're walking in the newness of life. Old things have indeed passed away. Paul's going to tell the church of Corinth, and y'all have quoted it 100 times from 5:17. Old things have passed away and all things are gone. Then let it be new. Stop clinging to old stuff. How many of y'all got old stuff in your house y'all should have got rid of a long time ago? Amen. And then complain about not having enough space. Get rid of that old stuff. Oh, now you want to tell on your mama. When I asked her where you were last Friday, she didn't tell on you, James. You move up here, James. Come on, sit right here where I can get to you. You gotta let it go. You listen, don't let your struggles be your excuse. Make that your charge. I ain't gonna be like that no more. With the help of the Lord, in one more day, I'm gonna be better. Don't be talking about in no 6 months. One more day. Makes the next day your next day. Preached a sermon some years ago. The title of the sermon was Your Next Starts Now. Y'all remember that one? Thank you, Rudy. Thank you. Two or three, remember? Two or three. Yeah, your next starts right now. Whatever you do right now is setting up your next. That's why some of us ain't going to never be no better at nothing. We ain't going to never come out the doldrums. We ain't going to never get over ourselves because we won't do nothing now. We keep talking about 6 months. And 6 months, you wait and you see me in 6 months. And we see you 6 months from now, you still talking about six more months.
And weeks turn into months, and months turn into years, and years turn into a lifetime of nothingness. How many of you have known people that died and there is no testimony? A life wasted. And so God is looking at all of us saying, listen, I died for you. Listen, can I tell you something? Every one of you have the same thing to celebrate. The death, burial, and resurrection of the one Christ. Ain't nobody no better than you. We all singing the same song. Preached that sermon a few weeks ago. This is my story. This is my song. What is your song? What's your story? He's telling us right now. He said, listen, don't you know? Don't forget. We died to that. How many have ever told somebody, had to remind somebody of old things and tell them, don't bring that up no more. I told you, that's over. Didn't I tell you we done with that? That's history. I just went, no, don't bring that up to me no more. He said, don't forget we died with him. Now, again, let's go back and look at the realities of Christianity. One of the realities of Christianity is it takes faith. So if you don't by faith believe you died to your former self, guess what? You're still living with your former self. And you know whose fault that is? Yo, don't blame the preacher. I left such and such church because he wasn't doing nothing for me. Let me tell you something. You do something for you. Stop waiting on somebody to do something for you that you ought to be doing for yourself. James says, you kill it off. The Hebrew writer says, cast off everything that so easily trips you up. How many of you ever tripped over something, looked back, and didn't see nothing? Everybody's hands should have went up right now. I mean, you're walking on the trip and look where I go. Who did it? Some little gremlin done throw something. But listen to God. Let me tell you how to help yourself. Build your faith. Build your faith. Don't stop trying to chase money. Stop thinking that if you get around the right people. Stop changing churches for the sake of just trying to find somebody else. Find you. Because no matter what church you go to, you bring in the same person. All them other people there already, and you show up, you brought you. But bring a better you if you're going to go. Or go in there and say, in this place, I will be born again. He said, don't forget, you died to that. Death is tragic, isn't it? I don't want to mess you up, but I'm going to use this illustration very quickly, and then I'll move on so you can smile again. But all of us have lost someone that we love dearly. And one of the most painstaking parts of that loss is that we will not experience the flesh, the feeling, the touch, the voice again. We know it's over. That's how you got to feel about your former life. That's how you got to feel about sin. Know that it's over. And no matter what you do, no matter how many times you go by the gravesite, no matter how many times you pull and tug, it's over. It's done. And now you got to live new. And you want to live new. Watch what he goes on to say. My time is going quickly. He says this. He says, well, what we want to do now is look at it this way. Just as Christ, verse 4, the B plot. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may have, may live, do enjoy, my friend, new lives. How many of y'all like new stuff? New stuff do something to you, don't it? Smell different, feel the thing, a little bubble wrap off. How many of you buy new stuff and try to keep it in new condition? You don't peel that little screen thing off yet. You know, you say the little thing that come in for a while, you know, and you keep putting it back in there just right, you know, because it's new. When it's new, you park way over there and walk because you say to yourself, the exercise will do me good. It don't matter if you park way over there because somebody with something old going to park over there too. And they don't get out and hold that door like you do. They get out and let the door go as far as it goes, and your car is the stopping point. You ever been sitting in your car, somebody bumping, and you look at them, and they look at you like, what you looking at me for? It didn't hurt it. You don't determine that. It's mine. I determine if it's hurt or not. But the point of the matter is, the Lord is giving you something to get excited about. He said, listen, man, that same glorious power that raised Christ, that's what raised you. You know what's wrong now? My pastor said this was going to happen, Jesse, and he's right. He said he feared the day would come when we wouldn't even get excited about the resurrection. He said it was going to happen. I didn't believe him. I was only 16. I didn't believe him. But we don't. You know, used to be a time we call Easter Sunday. Boy, church people would pack the church because it's resurrection day. You know, we start calling it Resurrection Sunday because I really believe that's what it ought to be called. And we don't see that same attitude anymore. And even back then, I grew up in a big church. And there's a lot of big churches. They still were all packed. You knew back then if you didn't get to church early on Easter, you weren't going to get no seat. But we're not excited about the resurrection anymore. Take it or leave it. And listen, if you cannot celebrate his, you certainly won't celebrate yours. Because without his, you ain't got one. He said, man, we got caught up in that same power, and he gave us a new life. And that's what we are now. We're living because of the new life. Remember, we were dead in our trespasses. Romans 3, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. And all have sinned. So all of us were dead. All of us now are alive. I was watching the rescue efforts over in Mexico, and really tragic, it really is. But when they brought one kid out, one little kid, and man, those folk went to yelling and jumping up and down because one life they thought was gone, God gave it back. That's why you ought to get up every morning excited. You remember that little prayer we learned growing up? Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake. Well, if you wake up, you ought to be glad about that. You ought to get up and get excited. Because you ever notice that when you get excited, people tend to get excited around you? Some of you are the barometer or the thermostat in the general area, how you go, people go. You've been around people like that. You know, there's certain people that if they're down, everybody gets down, but they're so you ought to recognize that when you walk into the room, and I told you this long years ago, every one of you bear the essence of Christ. When you walk into any place, guess what you're bringing? Christ. Man, who wouldn't get excited about that? Go back and read your Bible. Everywhere Jesus shows up, this is what they say. There was a buzz. It was noised about him. Know what that means? People got excited. So you walk into a room, you ought to bring that. Because you got it like that. When you walk into a room and people start going, oh, oh, you ought to say, yeah, I'm here. Greetings, salutation, the Lord is here. You know, that's wonderful. But he said, listen, with sin, you don't get that. Without repentance, you don't get that. Without facing personal accountability for our life choices, you don't get that. So he reminded them, he said, man, listen, we got it going on now. Amen. Go over to verse 20. My time is short. Verse 20. Romans 6, verse 20. He said, listen, in those days, back in the day, he said, when you were slaves of sin, you weren't concerned about doing what was right. Y'all remember those days? Okay, 6, 7, y'all bomb your head like y'all. Yeah, remember those days when you didn't care? It's your thing. Do what you want to do. That was you back in the day. Easy, says Jackie. I saw you getting ready to get with it. Y'all know y'all mama can do it like that, did you? She ready. She had a little head thing. All right, Ram, watch out now. But listen, we were there. All of us been there. Listen, there are no perfect people in this room. There's some folk that didn't get caught. There's some folk people didn't tell on or didn't tell on nobody. But all have sinned. Everybody in here is right there at verse 20. He said, you remember. He said, back then, you didn't care. You didn't care about doing what was right. You weren't singing on no choir. You weren't trying to get on the usher ministry. You didn't get up on Sunday morning talking about going to worship. He said, you remember that day? He said, in them days when you were a slave, you didn't care. You weren't concerned. Watch this. He said, and what was the result? He said, it wasn't good. How many of us remember when we didn't have a lot of good results? No matter how much we worked, we didn't ever have enough money. No matter how hard we tried, we didn't get much finished. Why? Because we were living reckless. We didn't have no favor of God. We didn't have no faith. Some of y'all may not remember, you don't want to testify, but I'm just going to put it out there. Some of us remember when we didn't even know who to talk to about it. Well, no such thing, well, I'm going to go over and pray about it. We didn't know what to do. We knew God, well, at least we thought God was so mad at us, we weren't going to talk to him because we felt like he wasn't talking to us. Any of y'all have been so bad off you felt like God wasn't speaking to you? God ain't talking to me. God won't even take my phone call. We tried a little two-minute prayer, and because God didn't answer in the third minute, we said, well, he ain't listening. He said, remember when you were like that? He said, remember when you didn't care? Watch what he goes on. He said, remember, you didn't get no good results. You tried as you may, but nothing was turning for you. Watch this. He said, now since you're ashamed of those things, now Paul is making a big assumption. That in the New Living Translation, when you read that verse, there's a big assumption there. Because I really believe, beloved of God, that some folk ain't ashamed. I really believe that some of us, our badge of honor is that we used to be. Be careful that your used to be's don't corrupt your probables. I really believe that. You know what? Talk to people, and you will see where their greatest investment is. You sit down and talk to people, and all they talk about, yeah, back in the day, man, I was this. Now, and then, they get them body movements in that. Yeah, they like that, but when they start talking about now, well, you know, I mean, look at them. Listen to them. He said, you should be ashamed. If your former life does not bring you some concern, You might not be living a pretty good now life. Because your now life is filled with those four things I gave you earlier. You have divine potential. You are covered by divine purpose. You have a divine prophecy and a divine promise over your life. If those don't matter to you now, no wonder you still bragging about, man, back then I used to carry my knife and I cut and I used to cuss people out and they, man, they knew not to mess with me, man. Cause you're not ashamed of that? No, because I don't play. You've been played, though. You do know the devil playing you. Listen, hear me well. That's up to you. Now, I'm not saying you got to do the shame walk all your life. But then, you know, I've always believed this. This is my point of view, and my time be up in about 4 minutes. But here's my point of view. I've always believed that if your level of regret is not sincere, then your level of rejoicing will never be either. If you're not sincere about regret, your rejoicing ain't going to mean nothing either. There's some things about me as your pastor, I pray you don't never find out. I'm paying people, in fact, not to tell. I got people on the payroll, Kendra, every month. I got to send checks to folk. You did my check come yet? I mean, hush, hush ain't the word. I got duct tape. That's not, I mean, come on, some of us know there's some stuff we don't want folk to ever know. So we're ashamed of that. Say, oh, my goodness. You ever been sitting around in the quiet time and had a reflection of your former self and said, oh, my God, what was wrong with me? Y'all ain't never had that happen? Thank you. Now y'all on to something. Sit there and say to yourself, oh, thank God they ain't had no video cameras then. I wonder if I left any fingerprints. I got
Nobody can get me a dust kit, you know. Because he said you should be ashamed. When you look at your life in Christ and your life without Christ, you ought to be ashamed. Ellen Champagne King just came to mind. Shame. Y'all know that? Jane? See, Jane, that's why we let you stay in the church. Because you helped the preacher out. Jane, though. So, Jackie, you and Jane going to be on our dance ministry. Shame. Low down, dirty shame. What you do to me, it's a shame. And he said, this is right in the text. I'm about done. He said, listen. He said, you're ashamed of those things you used to do. They were bringing you down. Look what he said. He said they were going to end in eternal doom. You know what he's saying? You were going to die and go to hell. If you'd have kept living like you were living, you were going to end up in hell. He said, you looking back on that now and going, oh, my goodness. Any of y'all have ever looked back and thought about how much time you wasted? Can I tell you, don't worry about that no more, because it was always about one day at a time. You can't recall the days, and you can't make the days no better. It was always one day. The fact that we've lived to be 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, whatever it is, it was still one day at a time. There was no way anybody could look at you and say, you're going to be 71. Probably, in fact, the truth of the matter is, other than these young people sitting here, and they may already have it underfoot too, but most of us sitting in this room are rather surprised we are where we are. At whatever number that is. Be like, Lord, who knew? We walk and look in the mirror and go, Lord, thank you. Woo, Jesus. Yeah. He said, you ought to be ashamed. And watch this. My time is going to be up. I'm going to stay on time today. He said this. He says, but, verse 22, Romans 6, verse 22. He said, but now. Say now. You didn't say it like you mean it. Say now.
Now.
He said, now you are free from the power. Say power.
Power.
Yeah. No, you got to say it like that. Power.
Power.
He said, you are free from the power of sin. And let me tell you something. Don't ever underestimate the power of sin.
Amen.
Y'all remember Flip Wilson?
Yeah.
Keita, you don't know about Flip Wilson. You. There's not a flat screen 1080p HD TV that show Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. Power of sin. How many of you have ever been duped by the power of sin? That's what Paul was talking about. Paul said, the good stuff I want to do, I just don't seem to get that done. Then he said, the stuff I don't want to do, I'm good at that. Y'all remember when you were good at that? Don't say what that was. Don't tell us. Leave us guessing. But look what he says. I got to go. He said, you're free from that now. And you're now a slave to God, which is a good thing. Now watch this. Now. Say now.
Now.
No, y'all still ain't getting it. Now.
Now.
Yeah. He said, now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. That's transition. But it's about choice. See, I will tell you, you know, we've talked about this before, Deacon Anderson. We've laughed about it somewhat. We say, you know, we lock everybody in church, they're going to be better off. Not really. I mean, we'll lock you in, but I can't let your mind get locked in. Because you're going to wander. You know, we can sit here and sing hymns and songs and praises all day long, and some of y'all mind is in a whole lot of other places. That old song said, your mind is here with me, but your body's on the other side of town, fooling around, letting me down. You cannot lock this out. How many of you ever been trying to have a good thought and crazy stuff come in your head? And you sit there and before you know it, you done bruised up the whole side of your head, trying to knock it out of there, and it ain't going nowhere. He said, listen, the thing that you've decided becomes the thing that you do. That's what he told him. He said, what you decided was you didn't want to live like that anymore. Then he tells him in a positive manner, he said, now you're doing those things. They bring about godliness. And that's part of what we're talking about. When we're talking about developing and strengthening and discipline, that's the now. That's the transition.
That's saying, yeah, my old life, yeah, I was. Reverend, I'm so sorry. But Lord, now I'm loving people. I'm trusting God. I'm reading the book. I'm taking the instructions literally. I am saying to God, Lord, I can't live without you. When I used to say to God, I don't need you. Y'all remember that language? Y'all remember y'all used to talk trash to God? My hand can't be the only one up right now. Three of y'all ain't. It's more than three of us. More than five, six, seven, eight, nine. Come on, we keep coming. I ain't scared. You don't go to church? No, I don't go to no church. Don't be asking me about no church. You're a Christian? Do I look like a Christian? You know, those crazy stuff y'all used to say to people. He said, but now, he said, you have come to a place now where the things you're doing speak to your desire. Here's what God says, and I'm done. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Don't let those things just be about material stuff. Anybody can drive a car. Anybody can have a house. Anybody can have a little money. But what do you want to do with your kingdom you? What do you want to bring that makes life better because you're a Christian? What's your gift? Remember, your first and second pieces, again, all of you didn't get them. You came in a little bit later. But the divine potential within you speaks to your divine purpose. Why is God letting you live? There's got to be something God wants out of you. And if there's anything God wants out of you, it's because he knows what he's put in you. God never tries to take anything out of you that he didn't already put in you. That's why he says, I'll give you. That's why he says, ask me. That's why he said, look for it. Your divine potential is only limited by your faith. Because again, he tells the church, I can do all things. Paul talks to the church of Philippi. He reminds them, he said, listen, man, of all the things I ever had in life, none of them mean anything. Now that I got Christ. And we've had some good lives. Many of you have been tremendously successful. Yeah. Not everybody coming into the church broke and hungry. And some of us bring some wealth with us. Some of us bring intellect and abilities that the world has only yet begun to know. Your greatest is not over. Mm-mm. God said, I'll pour into you blessings. I'll make you so wealthy with blessings, you won't have room enough to store all of it. That's the language of heaven. He said, your cup will run over. Your barns will not be capable of housing what I will give you. He said, and even when you meet with difficulty, men will pour into you that you don't even know. Strangers will come to you. Oh, that's the language of heaven. That's that God stuff that makes the difference. That's why some of you work where your PhD would have never got you. Your GED got you in some doors that people with doctorates can't get in. Just because of God. And they look at you and say, how'd you get here? Don't get the wrong attitude and tell them by faith. I'm just working on faith. I know I ain't qualified, but I got faith. Oh, I know I should have got passed over, but by faith. God is keeping me alive because there's still some purpose in here. You may indeed be the glue that hold that place together because you do keep your Bible open. Because when people come to you, you do pray for them. God got to have one remnant somewhere. You may be that remnant. Ain't because you're the smartest. You're just a remnant. Yeah, God said, I'll do it. And nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. What do you believe in God for today? And you know, y'all saw the movie. I saw this for me, and I'm done. My time is up. Alice in Wonderland, the new one with Johnny Depp and the young girl, she says, I dream of six impossible things every day.
before breakfast. First thing, you saw what Elizabeth? And she said, I believe six impossible things every day. What do you believe in God for today? Don't wake up another day without believing God for some of that impossible. Because all things are possible. You know, are possible overrules impossible. I believe I can work with that. Next time you wake up in the morning, think of something that you know only God can do. Some of y'all depend on yourself a bit too much for your own good. You know, you thinking because you know, running 6 miles now and you don't eat no fried chicken and no chitlins no more, and you know, you're going to live 100 more years. Nah, you might want to rethink that. Some of y'all think because you're a supervisor, you know, we got a couple of business owners here, you know, and you figure, yeah, you know, I'm the big baller, shot caller now. And I don't, you know, you might ought to keep relying on God. And y'all keep saying, Lord, if you don't, it won't. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, no matter who you know, because truth be known, apart from him, you got nothing.
Right.
Look at the name and say, neighbor. Pray that God don't repossess stuff. Look at the other name and say, because I got a lot to lose. God been good to y'all. Yeah, look at y'all. God been good to y'all. And so what he's telling us is, again, for those of you who came in a little bit later, Sister Walker, you caught up. We started this one on Thursday. We catching up that Matthew 3 thing. But the truth of the matter is simply this. We must realize the elementary parts, that if we don't repent and turn from our sins, we're going to disqualify ourselves from all of this wonderment of God. And it's just so simple. Remember this, I'm done. There are no perfect people.
That's right.
Jesus, last point. Jesus is minding his own business, and the young man comes up and said, good master. He said, why callest thou me good? You know, if Jesus is humble like that, maybe some of y'all ought to take that note too. I would have you turn to your neighbor and say, you ain't that good, but some of y'all get upset about that. Y'all go, yes, you don't know me like that. The first time you ever sit by me, don't start nothing, won't be nothing. You know, some of y'all, that gorilla will come out. But Jesus says, why are you calling me good? And then notice what he says after that. There is none good but the Father. That's humble right there, y'all. Listen. You all are some wonderful people. I really believe you are. Some of the finest people I know sit right here in this church, come to our Bible studies and serve with us in ministry. But I really believe that the truth of the matter is simply this. When you start taking credit for that God stuff, ain't going to be long. Ain't going to be long. Stay humble. Let God use you. And the reality is, why would you corrupt all of this wonderful stuff? Because you just won't say, I'm sorry. First level of repentance is simply saying, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I sure didn't intend to end up over here by 2 o'clock today. Lord, I got up this morning. When I rose this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I had no idea, Lord, by 3 o'clock I'd be done messed up 2 times. You know? Or if you had a really, really good day and you can get the, you know, get your now lay me part of the day and you're sitting there and you say, woo, Lord, I did it today. Okay, go and enjoy that. But do know there's a thing called tomorrow. That you have no idea how that's gonna go. How many of you ever had a really, 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 really good series of days? And that one day, you thought to yourself, what's it all about? This is crazy. I can't be living like this one day. Or that one person that came into your life, that one person that picked up your phone or dialed you or texted you, and you said, Lord, now here we go. Yeah, but God is saying to you, listen, don't throw it all away. Just tell me you're sorry. You know, back again, Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. He said, just the message is simply this. Repent. Turn from your sin. The kingdom of God is near. All right.
Last point. Last thing to know. I'm done, for real. You don't want to risk. Verse 23. Look what he says. For the wages of sin is death. You don't want to risk that. You're too full of potential to die with all this promise around you. Everything God ever said to anybody, he said to you. I ain't no better than none of y'all. Ain't no pastor heaven. I was born from a mother and father just like you. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. I just made some choices. You know, I accepted my calling. I really believe that God had called me to preach. I wrestled with that for a little while, you know, but I really believe. Of all the wonderful things, I've had two wonderful careers. Could have retired from both of them, been top notch and all that kind of stuff. But I committed to this. I said, God, I want you to use me. We were hungry sometimes. You know, my first church didn't pay much. You know, we didn't have a lot. We had to give up some things, you know, my wife and I. But I trusted God. I put my trust in God. And it ain't always been rosy either. You know, it gets a little rough sometimes. But you commit your way to God. Bible says that our steps are ordered by God. And then he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Follow him. Go wherever he tells you to go. Do whatever he tells you to do. Because whatever God has said to one, he said to you. Amen. Ain't no preacher's Bible. Ain't no Bible where God talked to pastors. He talked to me just like you. Romans 6:23 said the same thing to me that says to you. My job is a little different to rightly divide it and to put it out there. But don't think that God ain't trying to talk to you. Don't think that every promise ain't a promise that God will make to you. Again, when you look at divine purpose and divine potential, there's some dividing marks right there because he calls some preachers, some teachers, some apostles, some. Okay, fine. But trust in this. It works. It works. You just got to try it. Amen. All right, we'll talk some more next week. Did I help you a little bit? All right, I'm trying. All right, let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you so very much for the hour that we've shared together. And, Lord, we slid over into a little bit of our worship time, but we thank you, God, that you gave us this day an opportunity for us to say unto those who might not have heard and to say to those who are always listening that, indeed, the word is true. And, God, we know that you're talking to us. And, Lord, we're listening to you. Forgive us again of our sins, Lord, and have mercy upon us, we do pray. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you touch those who are sick among us, those who desire to be with us, those who are on the way, and those who didn't even think to come this way. We ask your blessing, your favor, and your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name. And the Redeemer of the Lord said, amen. 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 Amen.